You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
Well, men, this is an awesome sight to behold. Take a look around the room. Take a look at all of you. You are the spiritual leaders of North County. And here we are tonight in men's ministry to be equipped to walk in that divine role that God has called us to be the spiritual leaders in our families, in our marriages, in our church, and in our community at large, that we might bring health to this wayward nation. Amen?
Amen.
If God's men will stand, oh man, we are going to watch the Lord do powerful things in the land. But if God's men capitulate, we are going to watch evil prevail. And I am so thankful, I am so blessed to see this many of you here tonight coming on out to study God's word, to learn about the call of God upon our life, and to walk in it by faith to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Take a moment and high five the man next to you and say, you are a servant of the Lord. Guys, I am blessed to be back in Tuesday night men's ministry with you. I have missed it. We took a break for the summer, and I missed being in weekly fellowship with you, and just great to be back in this again. Special thanks tonight to the guys who grilled, Lloyd Klein, Jeff Marchworth. Just thank you so much to all the team. And great to be together. And men's ministry, I love it so much. Do you know why I love it so much? Who cares what I love? You know why I love it so much? Because Jesus loves it so much. I am a men's ministry pastor. I mean, that is my heart. If I could talk to just men all the time, I would take that. Don't tell the gals this, but hey, I would take that any day of the week. And men, I want you to know, the reason I love it is because God loves it. You are the men that he has called to walk in a pivotal role of changing the earth.
Amen.
We know how powerful your role is. We see what happens when men are absent from the homes. When men are absent from the homes, kids become drug dealers. Girls get pregnant. Girls become prostitutes. The world becomes unstable when godly men do not hold their post. But on the other hand, when godly men will simply embrace by faith the call of God upon their life, light breaks through the darkness. And health comes into the nation. And healing comes upon the land. And daughters thrive, and sons grow up to be godly men, and there is just a beautiful work of the Lord that happens when men will just stand in their post. The title of the message tonight is Embracing the Call of God. And man, I want you to know, this is not a cliche. This is not a sermon title. This is your purpose in life. There is nothing more important in all of life than for us to embrace the call of God that is upon our life. And you know what I love about being a man, and what I love about men's ministry, and what I love about being in fellowship with my brothers, is men like to build things, right? We are good at building things. We are designed to build things. And what we are called to build is God's kingdom. We like building things. We like building businesses. We like building homes. We like building families. We like building legacies. And the reason is because we were created for that. We are builders. We like accomplishing something. We like to achieve things. That's why when we go on a family vacation, we make it an experience to achieve it, right? Like we're going to Mammoth. That's a 7-hour drive. And what do? We get in the car, we say, honey, we're making it in 5. Make sure the kids have pee bottles. Make sure they've got snacks. We're not stopping, man. It's 5 hours. And she looks at you like, why? You're like, why? Because we're going to achieve it. We're going to accomplish it, right? And that's how God has wired us. And we're wired to accomplish difficult things. But I have seen, I have experienced, you have as well, that without a clear mission, men drift aimlessly. Men begin to chase things that just won't last. We chase idols, we chase careers, we chase money, we chase skirts, we chase all kinds of things that won't bring any lasting value. And without a clear vision, without a clear mission, without a clear calling, we will waste our life away pursuing futile things. And there is nothing more powerful, there is nothing more awesome than watching a man build something significant to the glory of God. Amen. But there is nothing more pathetic than watching a man waste his life away chasing childish things. Paul said, when I was a child, I reasoned as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, when I came to Jesus Christ, I put away childish things. Amen. And I embraced the call of God that was upon my life. Without a clear mission, we will chase futile things, man, and we see it. How many of you have ever watched slap fighting? Like, who in their right mind would think that was something to accomplish? I mean, it's entertaining to watch. Don't get me wrong. I've watched it. But I'll tell you what. I wouldn't do it. I would rather stick my hand in a garbage disposal than go through a slap fight. Take a look at this picture. I just want you to know something. That is not greatness. That is not accomplishing something. That is a futile pursuit. Take a look at this next picture. That's where it leaves you. Take a look at this next one. That was a victory, by the way. Here's my point. Men drift into futility when they lose sight of the divine calling. Men search for greatness in all the wrong places when we lose the divine calling. Let's get the title slide back up there, please. Thank you. I got guys back here with phones up. No, I want that picture. We start pursuing foolish things. Why? Because you were meant to conquer. You were meant to achieve greatness. You were meant to achieve You were meant to be a son of God. Amen. And when you walk in that role, oh, there is worth, there is purpose, there is meaning, there is significance. And you will not be looking for significance in foolish pursuits. But if we lose sight of that call of God, we will do foolish things. Men, I want you to ponder this. I want you to meditate on this. God had big vision when he created you. I want you to just think on that for a moment. God had a big vision when he created you, and he still does. God created you to build and accomplish great things. And the Bible clearly reveals that our mission begins with knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. Our mission does not begin with doing. Our mission begins with knowing Jesus. You were created to know your Creator. And you will find worth, significance, and purpose, and incredible mission in life when you understand his calling upon you. Amen. And that calling is to know him, to understand his mind, to understand his heart, to understand his will. You have a calling to do incredible things, to build and accomplish great things. And when you are in him, he calls you to build great things, not only now, but I want you to ponder this, in the ages to come. You and I know nothing about new universes, new worlds, but God already has those things planned out for you. And we are here for a very short time to walk by faith, to learn his ways, to understand his love for us, to understand his character and his wisdom, and to begin to emulate that so that we might embrace this call of God on our lives by faith, and that call is to know him and his love for us. Our calling begins with Jesus. Our value begins with Jesus. Our worth begins with Jesus. Our significance comes from knowing Jesus. And we often get this backwards. We think our worth and our value and significance comes from where, men? From doing. Our worth, our value, and our significance does not come from doing. It comes from knowing him. And once we know him, we begin to grow in his ways, and he begins to do incredible things in and through us. Our calling begins with Jesus. And if we don't have that, we will strive to become slap-fighting champions. What a foolish pursuit. And you say, no, I'm not doing that. Well, we will strive to become CEO of XYZ. What a futile pursuit. On your deathbed, you being CEO of XYZ will not mean anything to you. But you walking in the calling of God upon your life will have tremendous value to you in that day. And it will have deep roots and a legacy that will last for the ages to come. I want you to consider your value, your worth. And I want to use an illustration for you. Who determines the value of a house? Your homeowners, who determines the worth of your house? Who determines that? My wife. I assure you, your wife does not. That's funny, though. Who determines the worth of your house? The buyer. The buyer. You may be delusional and think your house is worth $7 million. You may hire a real estate agent to list it for $7 million. You might put it on Zillow for $7 million. But the buyer is going to determine the worth of the house. On the other hand, you might think your house is worthless. There's so much deferred maintenance. You've made a mess of it. There's mold in the drywall. There's holes in the drywall from fights that you've had. There's a blood splatter on the drywall from a drug deal that went bad, and you pushed the guy into the wall. The bedroom's been filled with pornography. The kitchen has been filled with fighting. The family room has had evils go on that have left stains on the walls. And you might think, my house is worthless. I want you to know, the value of your house is not determined by you. It's determined by the buyer. And there might be a guy like Elon Musk who comes along and says, no, 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 man, this house is in the perfect spot. It's exactly what I want, and it's worth this to me. And you're like, wow, I never thought my house would be worth that much. You say, Dave, what in the heck are you talking about? Your worth does not come from what you do. Your worth comes from the value of the one who purchased you. And God left heaven and earth to enter into our mildewed, broken drywall, deferred maintenance lives. And he said, I will become a man. I will instruct them in the way they should go. I will show them the right path. And I will die on a cross because they are that valuable to me. And this is where man finds his worth. Our worth comes from our position, our calling from Jesus Christ. Our significance comes from knowing Jesus Christ. God left heaven and everything to show us our value. I want to open up to Ephesians chapter 1. Our study is not going to be in the book of Ephesians. I only want to show you this tonight to show, help us see the calling that God has on our life. Ephesians chapter 1, are you there? Ephesians 1, verse 3. Jesus, as we open your word, we pray that you'd speak to us. Help us to understand what is the hope of your calling on our life. Give us eyes to see, Lord. Give us an ear to hear. And give us a heart to understand. Lord, these are your men. Help us to understand your plans for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 3, are you there? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing. If you got a pen out, underline that in your Bible. I want you to know that every spiritual blessing is yours. God is not going to hold anything back from you. God wants to bless you with every spiritual blessing, to be an amazing husband, to be an amazing leader in your business, to be an amazing leader in your community, to be an amazing leader in this church. We, in this Western church, we have this idea of big churches where one guy gets up front and does all the plays and we just sit here and watch. That's not what the church is. The purpose of the church is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You are the work of the ministry. You are the ones who are going to go out in the world and change the world. We're not going to change the world gathering in here on Sundays. We're going to change the world by gathering in here on Sunday to receive every spiritual blessing, to be thoroughly equipped to go out into the world and to stop this insanity that is going on out there. To say you're not cutting off the penis of my son. To say you're not going to bring that ideology into my family's life. To say we're not going to allow these kind of evils to happen. If men will rise up,
that's right.
We will change the landscape. I am so thankful right now. In London on Saturday, there was a 100,000-man march. And they were saying, God, Bible, family, in that order.
Amen.
And they were crying out, we want our country back. The enemy would love to neuter men. Why? Because if you bind the strong man, you can take out the whole house. And men, we have no idea. No idea how Jesus wants to use you and how he will show himself so strong. Underline these words. Every spiritual blessing is yours if you walk in faith to embrace this call of God upon your life. And notice this. Every spiritual blessing, read the next words with me, where? In the heavenly places, and where?
In Christ.
Notice it doesn't say with Christ. but what? In Christ. Big difference. We're not coming along with Christ. We are coming along in Christ. Amen. It is Him. And when we embrace the call of God, we are prone to think of what we must do. It's not what we must do, it's we must know Him. Amen. How did the 12 disciples embrace the call of God upon their life? How did they do it? Did they go do things? How did they embrace the call of God? They knew Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. That is the call of God that's on our life. Look at verse 4. Just as He, that's Jesus, chose us. Excuse me, He is God. He, God, chose us in Him, that's Jesus, before the foundation of the world. You coming here tonight is not your idea. It's God's idea. He called you. He chose you. This is His will for you. And look what He did. He chose you before the foundation of the world. Well, what did He choose us for? Number one, that we should be what?
Holy.
Holy. That you should not be controlled by the lust of your flesh, but that you would be holy. Number two, that you would be what? Blameless, without blame. That means faultless. That means not, it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you don't ever sin. It means that when you sin, you repent and you get right back on track and you are now without blame, without fault. You're cleansed, you're washed. Number one, holy. Number two, without blame. What's number three? Circle it, notice it, before Him. Your calling is not with Christ. Your calling is in Christ. The disciples hung out with Jesus and their lives transformed. Number one, we're called us before the foundation of the world to be holy. Number two, to be without blame. That's through the blood of Christ. Number three, to be before Him, in His presence, to be in fellowship with Him, to be hearing His voice, to be knowing His mind, to be receiving His word before Him, in His presence. And number four, what is it? In love. We are transformed by His love. Amen. I am not a pastor because I thought, well, I want to attain the highest calling and I want to be really good and I want to be do the right things. No, 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 no. Doesn't work that way. I am a pastor because I'm in awe of His love. Amen. It has changed me. It has taught me what love is and what love does. And I'm in awe of Him. And so to embrace the call of God isn't something we do. It's a person we come to. We come to Christ. We experience His love. And we go, you know why the disciples left their fishing nets? Because they go, I've never been loved like this. Amen. I've never known wisdom like this. I've never, and they were transformed by His person. Look at this. Having predestined us to, number five, adoption as sons. Chosen before the foundation of the world to be adopted by sons, by Jesus Christ, to God Himself. Wow. Man, that is one heck of a calling. That is one heck of a calling. And all of this was according to the good pleasure of His will. Whose idea was it to make you a spiritual leader? I tell you what, I would have quit being a pastor 2,000 times, 10,000 times over if it wasn't for this verse. It pleased God by the foolishness of man's preaching to save those who believe. What a foolish thing to have a guy come up front and tell you about God. But there's so much wisdom behind it. We don't have time to go into it tonight, but I've meditated on that passage for countless hours. But it pleases God for you to be a spiritual leader. Amen. It pleases God for me to walk in this role of leading the church, for you to walk in the role of leading your home, for me to walk in the role of leading my home. Look what it says. According to the good pleasure of His will, or in other words, this is what God wants. And it's to the praise and glory of His grace, not to the praise and glory of our amazing ability, but to the praise and glory of his grace, by which, by his grace, he made us what?
Accepted
in the beloved. Who's the beloved?
Jesus.
You are accepted. What do I got to do? I got to clean up my act. I got bloodstains in my living room from the drug deal. I got mold on the drywall. No. You're not accepted by, he'll clean up your house. Don't worry. He'll clean up the house. But you are accepted by his desire, by his passion, by his will for you, by what he did for you.
Amen.
Which is just amazing, amazing. Accepted in the beloved, in Christ. Verse 7, in him, that's in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of, what does it say, sin?
Sin.
I circled the S in my Bible, I don't know about you, because I got a lot of S in my life, right? We have redemption through his blood, not by my works, not by my good, we have redemption through his blood, and we have the forgiveness of all of my sins. Men, don't ever forget, I'm the sinner, and you're the Savior, Jesus. Lord, I messed up again. How many of you, when you mess up again, you start beating yourself up? I can't believe I did that again. I'm such a loser. What was I thinking? Oh, wait a second. Are you the Savior? I thought you were the sinner. Don't get that backwards. We're accepted according to the riches of his grace. He's cleansed us of all of our sins. Verse 8, look at this. Which he made, what adjective does he use? Abound toward us with all wisdom and prudence. It abounds towards us. Abounding grace. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Well, what's the mystery of the will? Well, we already saw five different things, right? That we should be holy and without blame and before him in love and be adopted as sons, which was all done according to his will. The mystery of his will, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and are which on the earth in him, in Christ. I am quite sure that we cannot grasp the depth of what he's saying there on just a quick read like that. But here's what he's saying. It is so incredibly profound. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when is that? Well, that's after this life is over. That's after the end of this age is over. That's after the Antichrist comes onto the scene in the 7-year tribulation period and Jesus comes back and rules and reigns, and that's during the millennial kingdom in the age to come. And that's after the millennial kingdom, after 1,000 years, where Satan is destroyed, evil is destroyed, and this earth and this universe is destroyed. The Bible says he'll roll it up like a scroll and he'll create a new heaven and a new earth. And here's what he says. Listen, not only is it that you'd be a spiritual leader right here in your life now, but verse 10, also that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, all in Christ, all things, things that are in heaven, things that are on earth, in him, we have obtained an amazing inheritance. Amen. Having been predestined, according to the purpose of him, Christ, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. I want you to know, men, God has a tremendous calling on your life, not just for your 80 years or 70 years or whatever you get. I don't know. Some of you will get 30. Some of you will get 100. But we'll all be in between there somewhere. And God has an amazing calling on your life, not only in this age, but for all eternity. And to miss that calling is the greatest loss a soul could ever experience. To be eternally separated from the God who called you to so much. It is Paul who said, oh, that you might comprehend what is the width, what is the depth, what is the breadth of God's love towards you. That you might understand this calling and all that it means, not only in this age, but in the ages to come. Just incredible. Verse 13, in him, Christ, you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You didn't trust him before you heard that. You trusted after you heard about this creator God who spoke the universe into existence, became a man, and went to a cross to forgive you of your sins, that you could be saved without price, without doing anything, just by believing in him and making him the Lord of your life. Amen. And you said, wow, I want to know a God like that. Well, then here's what happened. You also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee, the deposit of our inheritance until the redemption of the what? You want to know your worth? You are the purchased possession of the creator of the universe. Every morning, I've had a few straggler ants in my kitchen, in my bathroom for the last, 5 to 8 days. Not a lot, not enough to get the spray, just enough to have a couple walking across the counter. I don't know what they're looking for, trying to get out of the heat or something. And guess what I do to all those ants? Rinse my finger in the water, there's a couple here and there. They're worthless to me. I can't even imagine leaving my life that is infinitely bigger than an ant's life and becoming an ant to communicate with one of those ants. And that correlation between me and the ant is about this far away. The correlation between me and God is forever. And yet that God left heaven, left earth, the creator of the universe, and he became a man to what? To purchase you. Your worth is incredibly high. The scripture would say, God is for you. He gave you his son. Will he not also freely with Jesus give you all things? Amen. If he gave you that, is there anything he will not give you? And may we just comprehend and ponder that. Men, what a glorious calling we have upon our lives. And he invites us to embrace it. No wonder Paul burst into praise in verse 3 when he says, blessed be God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ for all the rich blessings he has bestowed upon us. Did you see them? You've been chosen, verse 4. Chosen by God. God set his love on you before the foundation of the earth. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are not a product of evolution. Nothing could be further from the truth. You don't have to earn God's favor. Your sin and failures have not disqualified you. By the glory of God's grace, you have been accepted by God in Jesus Christ. Amazing. Amazing. May we embrace this call of God. I have a quote for you on the screens by A.W. Tozer. Let me hear you read this, men. The gospel is not that we accept Christ, but that he has accepted us. Wow. That's the call of God. Not that we're saying, I want that, but that he wants us. And we just begin to walk in that. We've been chosen. We've been redeemed from all our sins and failures, verse 7. On the cross, Jesus paid your ransom. Your past doesn't disqualify you. You are adopted as a son of God to himself. You are a son of God. That is your identity. When you understand that you are a son of God, you will not try to be a slapfest champion. You will not go after foolish pursuits. Being the best surfer, being the best businessman will not be your ultimate goal. Being a son of God will be where you find all of your security. Amen. It'll be your identity. And he says, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee. If you are convicted when you sin, rejoice. That is the seal of the Holy Spirit upon your life. It is the testimony that you belong to him. He's saying, hey, don't go that path. I've got a better path for you. And you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Your future is secure. This isn't performance-based religion. Maybe you grew up with parents who they were performance-based, man. You had to earn their love. That's not God. That's not what real love is. You are chosen, you are redeemed, and you are adopted as sons. And listen, I want you to know this. You have an incredible inheritance to receive, both now and forever.
Amen.
Do not lose sight of that. If you lose sight of it, you will go after foolish and worthless pursuits. The man who understands God's calling on his life lives a life of great purpose. The man who doesn't lives a life of great folly. God has called us to be his sons, and God has called us into his kingdom, and God has called us to reveal the greatness of God to others. When you learn God's ways and you understand his love for you and you understand his wisdom, and I was my day off is Monday yesterday, and I woke up early and I was studying some things on physics. I love physics. And I started getting into these math equations on these physics issues on how light travels. And I can't meander too much on this because I want to get us into small groups. But we would think that light travels in a straight distance, right? Like the shortest distance, right? It doesn't. It actually, you know, moves in waves. And they're trying to figure out how it does. And it doesn't travel in the shortest distance. It travels in the fastest destination. Again, I can't do this in just a second. I couldn't do it in 2 hours either, for that matter. But I began to see, I was watching these great minds that were trying to explain this, and they bring out these algebra problems that are so complex. And these are the laws of physics. And they're building on the shoulders of giants. I mean, there's guys from the 1800s that have discovered some of this, and they write these math equations to understand these laws of physics. And then another guy comes on 100 years later and he picks up where that guy left off and he builds on the shoulders of that giant. And we're learning all these things, right? And I sat there and I thought, understanding all of those equations is so far beyond me. But take the very best guys and they could speak fluently to God about it. And God would be like, infinitely above them. And you take the best theologian, and we can speak to God and about his ways and his moral laws. And you take the best physicist, and he can speak to God about his physical laws. And you can take the best artist, and he can talk to you about sculpting. And you can take the best musician, and he can talk about music. And he can talk to God, and God is infinitely higher than all of it. And he's revealing himself to us. The laws of physics are just the laws of God. We have the Bible, which are just the moral laws of God. And he's called us to it. He says, hey, I want you to know me. And he'll reveal to you how a teenager's heart works. And how to speak to a five-year-old. And how to build a wife. These things aren't mysterious to him. And he invites us to know them. And that's called wisdom and discernment. It's just knowing God's ways. And this is the call of God. He's called us to be builders. He's called us to build a kingdom. And men, we drift and we get lost in the foolish pursuits when we lose sight of God's calling and we start building worthless things. Think of a champion athlete who has no game to play. Think of a soldier who has no orders. He's dangerous. He's distracted and he's ineffective. But a soldier who knows his mission stands strong under fire with purpose and vision and accomplishes major things. And you know what the Bible says? 1 Timothy, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the things of this world that he might please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. You wake up in the morning and you just go, Lord, reporting for duty, man. Let's go build. And look what he has called us to build. It's just amazing. Look at these verses. I'm going to fly through them fast. Verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul's praying for the church, right? And this prayer could just as well be for you. This is Paul's prayer for you. This was Paul's prayer for the church. What did you pray, Paul? Here it is, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the one who created the universe, put a little number one right here, might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Wow. That you might know him. That you might know Jesus with wisdom and with insight. That you might know his person, his plans, and his purposes. For you as a man. For you as a husband. For you as a father. For you as a leader in your work. That you might know Jesus and all of his wisdom and all of his insight. For all the things he's called you to in life, that he might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of who? Verse 17, who is it? Him, Jesus. That's your calling. That's what he wants to dump upon you, that you might know the Creator. I would love to know physics. I would love to know all the laws of physics. Think how incredibly wise you'd be. Look at verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Enlightened that you might know what is the hope of his calling. Wow, just amazing. He wants you to know the hope of God's calling upon your life. Do you know what happens when we don't know the God's calling on our life? We chase empty pursuits and they leave us empty and we start getting depressed and we want to check out. And he says, oh, no. I want you to know Jesus with tremendous wisdom and insight. I want you to know his ways. And I want you to know the hope of his calling. This is Paul's prayer for us. This is God's will for us. Look at number three right here. Number three, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? He wants you to know the riches of your inheritance. If you had a $1 billion inheritance coming your way, would you waste your time stealing from the store? Would you waste your time on trivial things? He wants you to know what is the glory of your inheritance. Put a number four right here on verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of what?
His power
working in your life towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he, God, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. That means all spiritual realms, angels, seraphim, everything, far above all of that, all might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, not only in this universe, but in the universes to come. Wow. Do you understand? He wants you to know what is the exceeding greatness of what?
His power.
And the illustration that he uses is the power to raise Christ from the dead and to give him authority over every dominion, every power, everything, not only in this age, but in the ages to come. Just amazing. So here we see the four things that God wants for you, the four things that Paul prays for you, This is the will of God for your life. This is what you're called to be, that you would know Jesus with wisdom and insight, that you would understand the hope of God's calling for you, that you would see it. That's number one. Number two, you'd grasp it. You'd know the hope of his calling, that you'd comprehend the riches of your inheritance, not only in this age, but in the age to come, and that you would experience Jesus' mighty power working in your life. Men, take a look around. Take a look around this room. You know what we're experiencing right here? The mighty power of Jesus working in your life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Men, listen to me. You are an army. You are an army. What could we accomplish if we walk in the power of Jesus Christ that he has for you?
Amen.
Oh my gosh. Great things. Great things. May we embrace the call of God upon our life. I want to go over our men's ministry manifesto with you. This is it. The men of the Mission Church, the men of Jesus Christ, here's what he calls us to. We're called to embrace the call of God upon our life. You know what that call is? It's to know Jesus. It's not to do anything. It's to know Jesus. That is the call of God upon your life. Number two, we are called to be builders of men. When you know Jesus, he commissions you. He equips you. He gives you the ability to become a builder of men. And by men, I mean men and women, your wife, your kids, the people you work with, to be a builder of men. Everyone Jesus called to follow him became a builder of men. In the Old Testament, everyone that God called became a builder of men. In order to be a builder of men, you have to understand the hope of his calling on your life. You have to understand his love for you. You have to understand his plan for you. And you have to understand his word. We know where we can understand that we can embrace the call of God upon our lives by knowing God's word. We can be a builder of men by knowing God's word. And what will be the natural byproduct of that is we will reveal the lordship of Jesus Christ in our actions. And what that means is, your life will reflect Jesus. You will look like him. You will speak like him. You will have wisdom like him. Because you're not with him, you are in him.
Amen.
And his Holy Spirit is in you. And he will speak through you and build you, and you will reflect Christ to others like Charlie Kirk did. And you will leave a powerful legacy.
Amen.
That no matter what, it can't be taken from you.
Never.
It is your inheritance in Jesus Christ. You're going to have homework to do each week. I want to encourage you, pour into it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't put it off till Tuesday morning. Or Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and do it as you're driving in on the 5, talking on the phone on your car. Let it have its perfect work. It'll show you that study guide is, it's good. It's good. You'll really enjoy it. It'll show you how to study your Bible. It's a systematic study. It'll help you get the most out of the text. It'll help you embrace the call of God upon your life. And have the wisdom to be a builder of men. It'll show you the heart and mind and the will of Jesus. Take time in it. The second thing I want to say with you before I send you off to your groups is that you're gonna have the opportunity tonight to meet some amazing guys. And in the course of the next few weeks, as we go through men's ministry together, it's going to go fast. Stay faithful. And take advantage of these relationships that are before you in these groups. Don't just check out. Number two, what are you to be? Not a builder of self. Actually come and say, I want to pour into some of the guys that are here. I want to start practicing this. Meet a guy for coffee. Get a guy's name. Send him a text. Start praying for somebody. When you get into small groups, be real in your group. You know what we like to pretend when we get into small groups? Everything's fine. How you doing? Fine. Really? Yeah, it's fine. How was your day? Fine. It's all fine. Do you have any prayer requests? Yeah. I've got a cousin in Tennessee. Got a hernia right now. You could pray for my cousin in Tennessee with a hernia. Really? Your life is that put together that the closest thing on your heart for a prayer request is your cousin in Tennessee. You know what that is? That is fake. And God hates hypocrisy. Open up, man. Be real with the guys in your group. We all struggle with the same things. We all struggle with the spandex pants at Starbucks, the yoga pants at Starbucks. We all struggle with our ego. We all struggle with our pride. We all struggle with our anger. We all struggle with learning how to deny this flesh and walk in the ways of Christ. Let's be real in our groups. When we are, you know what will happen? We'll build some amazing relationships to the glory of Jesus Christ that will bless your life for friendships that will last a long time. A long time. I want to get you into your groups. We're so late. We got a late start with food, a late start with everything, but I want to get you into groups, get you introduced to your guys. We'll build these relationships more in the week to come. I look forward. Stay faithful. May you be one of the ones who don't fall by the wayside, who finish strong all the way to the end of the series. You'll be so blessed and you'll grow spiritually. God bless you.
You've been listening to a message from Pastor David Menard. You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.